What's the 411? You tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Crossroad Academy Charter School is a Florida distinguished high-performing K-12 public charter school. It fosters a strong sense of community while providing a rigorous educational program. Crossroad Academy prepares students academically, socially, and culturally to become competitive and responsible members of society. Joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome three students, and we have a teacher from Crossroad Academy. I welcome Jalen Price. Jalen is in the 10th grade, and his thing is football and basketball.
Hey, guys. I just right here from out of Crossroad.
Glad to have you. And we have Ms. Camry Floyd. She is a teacher at Crossroad. Her interests are reading, educational leadership, curriculum, right?
Hello, everyone. We're happy to be here.
Dominic Moon. Dominic is in the 9th grade, and he enjoys music, rapping.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. And Novus Parker. She's in the 10th grade, reading, science, arts of all kinds.
Hi.
Well, Willie, welcome to 411 Teen, and I'm really glad to have you share some information. Let the audience know what's happening at Crossroad Academy. Let's start with the name, Crossroad Academy Charter School, a business. Is there a particular significance in the name? I mean, School of Business. Tell us what that means.
Well, School of Business, like, they teaching us to get ready for the business world, how to speak with people, how to interact, and how to dress the proper way when you go into conferences about business and different things like that.
Okay. They're doing a good job if you're an example of it. Welcome to have you. Glad to have you. So everybody gets that training. Is that it within the curriculum, or you want to elaborate?
Sure. The charter school, the business designation comes from the elective offerings that we have at Crossroad Academy. Mm-hmm. All of our students have the opportunity to become certified in the entire Microsoft Office suite, including Word, PowerPoint, and Excel. We also offer FBLA, Future Business Leaders of America. We have a really large participation from our student body. And the Beta Club is another one of the business and industry geared options that our students have.
Okay. Did you have something you wanted to share? No, you didn't? Okay. All right. Describe the physical setting of the school. Where is it located? Again, what I want us to do is to paint a picture of the school with words so that the listening audience has a real feel, a real grasp of what Crossroad Academy is about.
It's surrounded by a lot of trees. It has a back road, a long road when you come down, and there's two loops on each side for when you parent pick up or drop off.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's the physical address?
We're at 470 Strong Road in Quincy, Florida.
Okay. All right. Now, if someone wants to visit, and they hear this and they think, wow, this might be something that I'm interested in. Ms. Floyd, what's the process? What do parents do?
Well, Crossroad has an open door policy. We recently received a National Blue Ribbon recognition, and we consider ourselves pretty much a model school. And so we're very open to individuals from the community and the educational community as well coming out to take a look at our daily operations. All they need to do is bring a valid driver's license to the front office and come right in.
Okay, and what are school hours?
From about about 7:45 to about 2:30. I say about because we have students who get there a little bit before school, and we have lots of after school activities as well. Mm-hmm. So depending on the day, any visitor would be bound to find someone there probably until about 7 or 8 o'clock.
Now, you're K through 12.
Well, right now we're K to 10, but we are going to expand each year.
Okay. How many students are there?
There are about 435 students.
Wow, that's impressive.
Well, actually, it's pre-K to 10. I forgot about the babies.
Okay, all right. And what is the admission process?
Well, because Crossroad Academy is a charter school, we admit students based upon a lottery. So what happens is we have like an open enrollment period where people are invited to apply, and then the individuals are randomly selected to be admitted.
And when is this open enrollment? I think because folks may be wanting to decide about school for next year.
This is true. I believe it starts around March 17th, and then we accept and admit right up until the beginning of school in August.
Okay. All right. Who are the students? Who are y'all?
Well, I could put it like this. We're a lively bunch with a bunch of personality.
That's true.
Yeah, everybody knows everybody. I remember when I first got here this year, I tried to stay quiet, but they didn't let you. They were going to talk to you.
Now, how long have you attended school?
Since the second day of school I got there.
Okay, so you started back in, what, August?
Yes,
that's when school. And where did you go before you came there?
I lived in Texas.
Oh, okay. So you were totally real. And what kind of school were you in then?
It wasn't such a good school.
Was it a public school, private school?
Public.
It was a public school. And what made you decide, or your parents to decide, that you needed to go there? I mean, what was the strong point? What was the appeal?
Well, my mom, my granddad called my mom and said he would like for me to come live down in Florida. And she asked me, she's like, do you want to go? You have a choice. And I said, no. And she's like, no, you're going.
So you didn't have a choice.
I didn't have a choice. So I went, and my granddad was like, I don't want you going to any of these other schools. So before you come, I'm going to make sure I can get you into this school. Mm-hmm. And so I got there, and it was my expectations moving from a big school to this tiny school. It's better, though. It really is better. Cause,
in what way?
It's smaller. Mm-hmm. Everybody's old. It's a small school. I don't want to go. Everybody, it's actually better. Mm-hmm. That you can do way more things than you would never imagine. It's pretty good.
Okay. Now, Novus, how long have you attended?
I've been at Crossroad for 4 years, and they've been wonderful 4 years. I've learned a lot more than I would at any other school in the district.
What makes this school so special? Why is it? And people can't see you, unfortunately. We are on radio, but if they could just see your smile and your bubbling, it must be doing something right. Okay.
Well, what separates this school from all the others is we offer AP and honors classes the moment you're in high school. Unlike most other schools where you have to go up until 11th or 12th grade before you can apply, we're sent straight into it so that we're there, we're knowledgeable, we know everything that we can about this one subject so that by the time we're in our 12th grade year, we can have the choice to go ahead and do college classes, like more college classes that'll be less you have to pay for once you actually get there.
Okay. And Jalen, now how long have you been a student?
I have been at Crossroad Academy Charter School for 2 years now.
Okay. And what has been your experience?
My experience has been, I get in a lot less trouble at Crossroad because coming from a big school, I know I used to get in a lot more troubles. The teachers didn't care. But now at the Crossroad, the teachers care about you and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you learn how to respect people and different things like that, make new friends.
So it just sounds like a real positive environment. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely have to say that I went to a small high school myself. Mm-hmm. I went to a school in Gadsden County, and I actually really enjoyed my high school experience. But the culture at Crossroad Academy, like Jalen, Novus, and Dominic have all said, is just really a family environment. We get to show a lot of concern for our students and involve ourselves in their lives in a lot of ways that are not necessarily academic. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be impactful in that way.
Okay. What about the cost, and how does one get there? I mean, do you provide transportation? What are those options?
Well, we do have a bus. We are a public charter school, so our students are able to take advantage of the district busing system. Like Dominic was, when he was describing kind of the aesthetics of the school, he mentioned parent pickup. Because we are a pre-K to 10th grade school, a lot of students are dropped off. We're right in the center of the community, so it's very convenient for people who do want to drive their students to school, because some people need that extra time, you know, in the car to prepare for the day.
Right.
We definitely do offer those options. There's no cost to attend Crossroad Academy. The only thing that the students are basically required to purchase is their uniform, which is pretty, I'd say, cost effective. And the planner, which helps them to remain organized. Yes, Novus.
And now, what, all students wear uniforms?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. All students and teachers actually wear uniforms at Crossroad. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I didn't see that. All right. And how's that been received? And why did you all go to uniforms?
Well, Crossroad has been a uniform school, I believe, from the day that it was founded. I'd say it's been pretty well received. The students are generally compliant. I know that in some instances, they see it as a barrier to their self-expression, but they're actually able to express themselves in a lot of different ways, just in the standard khaki and black. Novus.
And your school colors must be purple?
Yes.
And black?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Do they have any particular significance?
Actually, yes, they do. You know, purple represents royalty, and the school's colors were selected based on some Egyptian royal concept, and our mascot is actually the scorpion, so it all ties together in that manner.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the pre-K program, and just what does that involve? Is there any cost involved there? I tell you what I'll do, though. Before I have you answer all that, to my listening audience, you're tuned in to 411 Teen, and this hour I'm talking with members of the Crossroad Academy Charter School, and it is truly an exceptional place. They have been, they've earned the grade A, right, for the last 7 years, and we are very fortunate to have them. We're going to take a brief break, but when we come back, we'll share some more information with you about Crossroad Academy. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and I have been talking with members of the Crossroad Academy Charter School in Quincy, Florida, and they are sharing a verbal picture of their school. Now, right before we took a break, I was asking you about the pre-K program. Can you elaborate and tell us a little bit more about that? I mean, as far as the hours, and if there's no cost involved in that, okay.
All right. The pre-K program actually operates across the street from the main campus to allow for some separation between the early childhood students and our mainstream students, so to speak. The pre-K program, if I'm not mistaken, there's no cost associated with it, and it runs the length of the entire school day. The students there learn things that are going to prepare them for the challenges or the for the rigorous curriculum that they'll face when they enter our main program. What we do at Crossroad, as far as curriculum goes, is vertical alignment, which means that we take the standards from the grade to which the students will be progressing, and we apply it to the grade that the students are already in. And we found that that does an excellent job of preparing our students for what's next, because we're always thinking ahead. And the pre-K program kind of sets the platform for the kind of student that we have at Crossroad.
Okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. Now, share with us a typical day, and I'd like to hear this from the students. You know, give me an idea of what your typical day looks like. I'll start with you, Jalen, and then we'll just go around the table.
Well, coming from my typical day, I get off the bus, and then we go into our home room. Mm-hmm. And I be with my friends for a while until it's time for us to go to first period. And our first period class is an AP class, and we take AP World History. Mm-hmm. So I get in there, I do my work, then we leave. So
how long are you in there? When is first period, do you know?
45 minutes.
Okay. All right. And how many students are in the class with you?
15.
Everybody's laughing. They don't get through it, but all right. 15.
Well, that just go back to it. We got a small class.
That's great. That's great. That is super. That's fantastic. And I think that often we hear that student-teacher ratio makes a big difference, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to, and you're nodding your head, because as opposed to having 30, you know, you got 10,
right.
15.
Right.
And do you really feel that makes the difference? I mean, am I?
Yes. Actually, on the ride here, Dominic and Novus were talking about how the student-teacher ratio affects them.
Sure. What were you all saying?
Well, I personally learn more from the teacher showing me how to do it and then me doing it and then them going over it. But in a class full of 30 or 35, that's not possible because you have to keep the school day rolling because we only have 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So with the 15 kids we have, the teacher is able to come around and help people with their minor issues that they're having so that as a whole the class progresses on as displaying the A that we receive.
If not, your peers, they will definitely chime in to help as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm. And that's great.
But the teachers, they'll let you. I mean, they're just like, they actually want you to, like, yeah, try to figure out for yourself before you come talk to us. Mm-hmm. Let's see how far you can go. Then I'll jump in. But if not, the teachers, they definitely, what means a lot to me is they'll definitely let you ask questions. Because in my old school, one of my teachers says it's better to ask a question and be a fool for 5 minutes than not ask at all and
that's
know
true.
Nothing.
That's a good point.
And so
questions are encouraged.
And
it seems like you feel real confident and comfortable. If you don't know something, it's okay because you're not expecting.
And they will get mad because my class is so quiet. They be like, I'm done. Y'all ain't saying nothing. We don't know where you at.
Right. You got to ask some questions. You got to say so they get a feel for where you're at. What? That's great. Mm-hmm. And as far as the curriculums, can you tell us how that is determined? Do they have electives? What are the electives? When do they come into play?
Our electives are, as I said before, business-based, mm-hmm. and our students earn most of their electives through our fine arts credits with the computer courses that I told you about. They start in eighth grade.
Okay.
They take a PowerPoint course.
You read my mind, because I was going to ask you, when does this start?
Oh, yes, ma'am. They take a PowerPoint course, then a Word course, then an Excel course, then an Outlook course, and then they have an integrated technology course that they can take for another credit. We're actually still in the process of developing our electives, which is why I'm getting the side eye from my 10th graders, mm-hmm. because they are rallying for electives that are, of course, more catered to the interest. That's another interesting aspect of Crossroad. Each year, as we develop more of our program, they're allowed to have lots of input.
Mm, we have maybe way more.
Because we would be the first graduating class from Crossroad.
Right.
Right. That's real. Well,
we have way more of an input.
Y'all are reading my mind because the next question is, what role does a student play in deciding what he will do and what classes he will take?
Dominic. Is like like they said, in a bigger school, it's all up to the administrators. They have meetings after school. Mm-hmm. But what they do is they'll say, okay, look, y'all are a class group. Y'all are peers. Y'all are going to have to do what we do. Y'all get together. Y'all set up a time. And so every Tuesday, we'll set up a time to where we meet as a class. Like, okay, how are we going to start this fundraiser? And how are we going to do it to earn more money and put this into our dance or our performing arts or whatever we're going to do? Mm-hmm. And then they'll let us have the floor, and we'll just get through it.
So you really have a say.
We have a large say.
Right. And us as the 12th grade, us being the number one graduating class of this school, we get to set up the AP classes or the arts classes or the more interest-based classes mm-hmm. for the students that come after us. So we're like the superheroes of the school, so to speak.
That's great. That's good. Now, I know when I looked the school up on the web, and they were given different stats about it. One stat that was really, really outstanding was the attendance. The attendance stability rate was, I can't remember, something like 95%. Mm-hmm. Tell me, how do you do this? What happens? I mean, now that's truly exceptional.
I actually didn't realize that it was all that exceptional. The kids come to school because, yes, for one, I think they feel lucky to be there. Secondly, if they don't come, they're going to miss something. We have a very, very rigorous curriculum. We take academics. We take the business of education seriously. It's actually our motto at the school. And if the students don't show up every day, then I think it's evident to them and their parents that they're going to miss out. No one wants to miss a day at Crossroad because there's always something going on. And that doesn't just apply to the academics. We have celebrations in September and October for Hispanic Heritage and in February for Black History. And we have lots of student-sponsored dances and lots of basketball games. And there's always something to do. And so I think the excitement, the rigor, and the it's kind of like a hub of goings on, that kind of environment is what encourages students to attend. But I never thought about that.
I know I haven't missed a day of school.
Yeah. Really?
No, ma'am. I mean, and back where I come from is, you want to skip school with me? Okay, sure. but now it's like, I got work to do. I got like when you go, as soon as you step in, it's okay. Nobody's playing. It's a way more mature mindset. You have to do your work. They will not play with you. They will fail you. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's amazing from where I come from. It's way better environment. And it's just like, they don't play about uniforms. They will send you home if you don't have it. They're serious. Like my mother always used to say, your school, your report card is your paycheck. Your school is your job. Mm-hmm. And you got to do it as well as you can. Mm-hmm.
Well, from my point of view, you have, for us rather, there are about 3 or 4 AP courses and the rest are honors courses. So I did not spend all night doing all of that homework to not go to school the next day and get the full credit for it. And also to not get the point, especially in math, since we're in Algebra 2 now, I did not do all that research and all that figuring for it to be skipped over because I wasn't there to get the full explanation as to anything I would have had questions about.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. How about the suspension rate? That's extremely low also. So what's the secret with discipline? What?
I got the secret, really.
Okay, dude.
But it's our classmates. Like, we got a girl in our classroom, like, she won't let you get in trouble. She'll fuss at you before you even think about doing something stupid.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
She fuss at you like, don't do that. That's stupid. You know it's going to happen. You know the principal going to get you. You know somebody going to find out because it's a small school and stuff. So you ain't going to do nothing real stupid on campus.
They will watch
because everybody will know.
We're a small, very self-governed class, the 15 of us. So if one person does something, we all know. And we're all going to get you about it before the administrators can. So you get that second chance. And don't do it again.
You can't hide neither. I mean, as they say, it's a small school. Like, if it's a big household, you got a lot of brothers and sisters to blame. We pointing.
Well, from the teacher's perspective, share with us, what's the appeal? What are you all doing? You need to can it and sell it. I'm serious because, you know, folks, you're very, very enthusiastic. You obviously love your school, mm-hmm. which means y'all are doing something right. Mm-hmm. So
we, really, I'd have to say we have acquired the perfect mix of personalities, especially as far as the administration and the staff, faculty and staff go. Like Jalen, like they said, it's such a small environment that we all kind of check and balance each other. Mm-hmm. And as in a family, you know, sometimes there conflicts definitely arise.
Sure.
But we're even the faculty and staff are kind of self-governed.
Mm.
And so respecting everyone's opinion and trying our best to incorporate everybody's interest and everybody's agenda into what moves the school forward is what creates buy-in. So all of our stakeholders are completely bought in for one reason or another. There may be a group of stakeholders who really likes the fact that we're a uniform school and practice professional dress. There may be another group of stakeholders who really appreciates the fact that we integrate technology so much into what we do. Another group of stakeholders, the students, for example, seem to really appreciate the fact that their opinions are valued. Mm-hmm. And so when you marry everybody's interests in this way, it kind of gels and you can't help but be successful.
And the teachers, they don't act like you're better than you. Like every school I go to is, oh, I'm an adult, so I can, why do you feel this way? And it's just, you know, that helps too.
I would think that makes a big difference.
That makes a huge difference.
Let's say you have someone who's considering, you know, going to Crossroad Academy. How would you describe the school to one of your peers? Let's say Jalen, somebody, you know, they're saying, well, I might go, I might want to go. What kinds of things would you tell them? How would you describe? Because even though it's a fantastic place, we know it's not for everybody. You know, you have to have certain characteristics, whatever they may be, to be successful there. So what would you tell one of your friends if he said, or she said, I'm thinking about attending?
I'd tell one of my friends, like, well, you get better classes at Crossroad than you would at any other school in our county. But I'd tell them, if you're struggling in big classes, like you ain't passing good, you got C's and D's and stuff, come to Crossroad because we got smaller classes. The teacher's going to give you more one-on-one help and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. But Ms. Voigt, what is there a cap? How many can you all?
Each year, we've been successful in having our cap increase so that we can add students. I'm not entirely sure of how that works in the back office necessarily.
Right, right.
But we increase our enrollment cap each year so that we can add an additional grade. A lot of people think that charter schools, quote unquote, steal students from the district, but we are very much a part of the district. We're very much partnering with the district. And that is also something that makes a big difference, trying to foster a good relationship with the district in which you operate, because that allows for more students to hear about the school and to gravitate toward it if it's something that interests them.
Dominic, what would you say to a friend? I mean, when you describe your school setting, what are the things that are outstanding to you?
Well, my friends are people, so the first thing they'll say is the first thing they'll do is make excuses about, oh, well, what about sports, this and that. Well, we got basketball and football. You can go to another school for that, and stay at the school.
Like, oh, okay, good. Because I want to get into
you can
that.
You can still do that. Like, there is nothing holding you back. The only thing that's going to hold you back is your excuses and your procrastination.
Okay.
So if you go and jump head in and do what you got to do there, they will make sure that you get where you need to get. There's no problem with it.
Okay. And Novus.
I would tell a friend that it's a very passive-aggressive school with a little more on the aggressive side, but passive-aggressive nonetheless, and that it's no-nonsense. So all those excuses that you used to have will not work. Mm-hmm. If you don't do your homework, you essentially will fail the class. And I would also explain to them about how small the school is, because everyone I know personally that doesn't go to this school goes to a very big school where you just blend in with their surroundings and just go through your life as if you just go here, take a test, leave. Mm-hmm. Here at this school, there are many different personalities. There are so many different teachers and students and works to do. And it's all very exciting and rigorous, and you learn and you're having fun, and it's a good place. It's a great place to be.
And teachers will show their personality too.
Oh yes, they will.
Okay, how do you intersect with the community?
Well, as I mentioned, all of our major stakeholders are, of course, members of the community. But the celebrations that I mentioned to you, such as the Black History Celebration and the Hispanic Heritage Celebration, what we do is we reach out to members of the community and we invite them to come. So our celebrations are more like reunions for everybody. You're liable to see anybody that lives in Gadsden County at the school for those celebrations. We also host convocations during Black History Month, where we invite community leaders out to come and speak with our students. And we work very diligently to continue those partnerships throughout the school year. So if someone comes and speaks at our school, that's not the only time that our students are going to see them. And so when they're at the store and they see a politician or they see one of the community ministers, they're able to have a conversation with them. And that ties back into our vision of kind of fostering students who are capable of conducting themselves appropriately in the business world. Okay. So really, we reach out to our stakeholders a lot. And the open door policy, which allows them to come in frequently, is another major factor in those relationships.
What about volunteer positions? Can people come in and volunteer?
Yes. Actually, as a part of our parent contract that every parent and every family has to sign at Crossroad, all of our parents are required to give us 10 hours of their time each year.
Okay.
That helps to promote parent involvement, foster community relationships, and it allows the child to know that the parent and the school are on one accord. We are all in this together. It helps to have your parents reinforce what the school is saying.
Okay. There's smiles and nonverbal communication going on there. You tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. This is 411 Teen, and we're examining a viable, successful educational setting, Crossroad Academy, located at 470 Strong Road, Quincy, Florida. Principal Kevin Forehand. Right before we went on break, we were just talking about the parent participation, and I wanted to elaborate a little bit more on that to have you elaborate. You were saying that parents are, you know, often they have to participate.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. We also have a family night once a month where a grade level is selected to kind of showcase what they've learned up to that point. We, for example, I think the kindergarten to second grade this year did a parody of Frozen. They kind of condensed the movie into about four or five scenes. It was very cute. Our third to fifth graders did a civil rights display. Last year, our middle and high school students did an educational expo, where parents actually came into the hallways and did science projects and math projects, and it was very hands-on and really a whole lot of fun. I think a part of having a good partnership is for each party to, like, meet the other halfway. So while we do have that requirement, we try to make it worth the parents' while.
How do you all feel about your parents being involved?
Well, I don't really mind, because I know either way my mom and dad gonna get involved in what I do at school. Mm-hmm. So either way, I know they go beat up, checking in on me, seeing what my grades look like, seeing what my behavior been like, and different things like that.
And with the open door policy, they can just waltz in any moment. You can look
they'll
up.
Sit with you.
One moment you're doing your work, you look up, your mom's coming in the room sitting next to you. Hey, what's this?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Making sure they know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. That's good. What about field trips? Hands-on, oh, were you? And hands-on approach. Share with us, you know, about the field trips, if you don't mind. And just the, you know, the hands-on kind of approach.
Oh, okay. We have several traditional field trips that we take each year. The students go to the, well, they have, yeah, they go to, we go to the movies for Black History Month to see whatever film comes out in February. We go to the caverns. The lower grades go to the Tallahassee Museum of History and the Junior Museum and, well, I meant the Florida Museum of History and the Junior Museum. We also have end of year trips, which is what we were talking about in the car on the way over. Oh, okay. So you incited some unrest there. That's how I feel. But but each year our students are provided an additional educational experience that's outside the normal realm. And speaking from a high school perspective, we do college tours. So in ninth grade, the students do the tours in South Florida. In 10th grade, they go to Georgia and go to Morehouse, Spelman, and Clark Atlanta, and Georgia Tech. In 11th grade, we're doing a kind of toned-down trip because in 12th grade, our plan is to take the students out of the country. Crossroad is really big on exposure to a variety of things out. Our principal, Mr. Forehand, is kind of a world traveler himself. Mm-hmm. He's really cultured. He wants the students to be cultured. And we are committed to ensuring that our students are exposed to a variety of experiences.
And again, we can do that because it's a small school.
Uh-huh.
Now, you can't take 3,000 kids
right
out of the country.
Yeah, but if it's 10 or 15, you know, in a class, then that makes it very easy to accommodate.
Get
the hardest person to lose there would be Miss Floyd.
Right.
Well, you may not need to do this at all, but what about discipline? How is discipline handled? Is there a behavior code? I mean, tell us about that. Share that with us.
All right. Well, discipline at Crossroad, a lot of people feel like Crossroad doesn't have any discipline issues. Like, you know, everybody's a perfect angel. And they are angels. And we love them. But nobody is perfect. What we have done, though, is we have developed a school-wide discipline plan that has a stepwise process. And so as the students progress from grade to grade or even go from classroom to classroom or activity to activity, there's no variation in what is expected of them. As opposed
give
to
give me an example.
Well, as opposed to having like rules and rules. Well, we have rules and consequences, of course, but we have procedures, and these procedures apply to everywhere that a student goes within the school. When they enter the classrooms, they enter the classrooms the exact same way every time. They enter the hallway, and their procedures for entering the hallway are the same. Their lockers are the same. So any adult at the school who is familiar, every adult at the school is familiar with all of the procedures. So wherever the students go, they're going to be held accountable for whatever that expectation is. That's it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. When there is a deviation from the procedure, there, like I said, there's a stepwise discipline plan that involves things like warnings, detention, parent conferences are really the major part. They're kind of the meat of our discipline plan.
After school detention.
Lunch detention. And the thing about after school and lunch detention is we spend one-on-one time with the kids. Mm-hmm. So when you're at detention, you're not just walking around by yourself or sitting in a room with your peers. You're talking to your teacher. Mm-hmm. And usually in those settings is where we kind of come to the resolution for the issues that we're having. Very rarely do we have advanced disciplinary action.
My next question, you've kind of touched on this, but I wanted to hear you answer it directly. What programs are available before school and after school?
Before school, teachers mostly do their individualized tutoring sessions.
Okay.
We're actually working on getting our own after-school program. But generally now, the students participate in different athletic activities or they go to their club meetings. We have a journalism staff, FBLA, the Beta Club, SWAT, which is Students Working Against Tobacco. And then we've actually partnered with Florida State to offer a college reach-out program for our 6th and 7th and 8th grade students.
Okay. All right.
Fine arts, we always hear, you know, whenever there's something that's cut from the curriculum, it's fine arts. And, you know, there have been a lot of outcries because we know that fine arts are really very significant and important. What fine arts are offered? What do you have?
At Crossroad, like I said, we're still developing our electives. I'd have to say that the fine arts probably find their place more so in the courses that we do offer. When the students, of course, have the opportunity to take things like art, design, photography via Florida Virtual School, if they so choose. In their technology courses, they can practice fine arts, especially graphic design, using the computers. But all of our courses are designed to incorporate a hands-on kind of expressionism opportunity. And so, though we don't have any formal fine arts classes, our students are able to express themselves in different ways through their core classes.
Okay. What organizations or clubs, student organizations, student clubs, do you all participate in? What options do you have?
There's Students Working Against Tobacco, which is SWAT. There's the Betas Club.
What's
then
that?
There's the Honor Society.
What's the tell me what each one is so that people know. You know, they may not know what that is.
SWAT is like Students Working Against Tobacco. Okay. We said that a lot. But it's you.
The students work together because of the environment that we're in to help raise awareness to other students that not only is doing tobacco not cool, it's also it's deadly. So don't do that.
We do like fun events called kick butt kickball, like cigarette butts, kind of play on words. But me and my brothers, like, we used to like yell out the window of people smoking because they always got their window down. So we'd be like, quit smoking before smoking quits you. And so, like, we just do real dumb stuff. But,
no, I mean, it sends a message. Okay, so you have that. Now, what other program, what other organizations do you have?
There's the Beta Club / Honor Society.
Okay.
And the way the Beta Club works is it's another business-geared program for students to realize what would happen if they needed to do things in, well, the business world. We conduct meetings. We go on conferences where you must dress appropriately, and you realize that you know now how to dress appropriately, whereas when you first got there, it was like, oh, these jeans don't fit me too tight. They must be fine. But as you enter the school and get into these programs, you realize, especially with the Beta Club, that appearances and how you articulate, these things matter, especially with first impressions. And the Honor Society is like a step up from the Beta Club. It's essentially for the older kids. And you get introduced to more business things, and you go on more business gear trips, and you do more business gear activities.
Okay. Any other clubs or organizations?
FBLA, Future Business Leaders of America. In that club, we talk about different things, like on how to save money. But like over spring break, we went to a conference in Orlando where we had a tape test about stocks and computer programming and different things like that, dealing with the business world. And you had to dress up everywhere you go, like suits and everything else.
How'd that make you feel, dressing up every day?
I like it. I just look good everywhere I went.
Like,
you were very,
it's crazy when
everywhere.
I sit here and think about it, because the I don't want to say normal, but the most teenagers who hear this are like, oh, that's lame, and they ain't really doing nothing. They whack. But then a couple of years from now, I'm like, oh, they in mansions. They rich. Like, they won't see it now because we think ahead.
And how did you get that to that point? Because this is truly exceptional, as you know, Ms. Floyd, you know, to get them to be able to, you know, to improve their insight, to not deal with right now, the here and now. You know, I want it right this minute to understand that, you know, you have to prepare for the future. You all are doing something right. You're doing it. Now, what is it?
There's
Don't
so
keep
many,
it a secret.
there's so many so many factors that play into that. Sometimes it's a real battle because there are adults mm-hmm. who do not think as far ahead as our students
exactly.
think. I think we have what's called an uncompromising culture. When you come to Crossroad, like Dominic said, it is what it is. We don't bend. We will not break. We will accommodate mm-hmm. you to an extent.
Rapping? Uh-oh.
We will bend, break, accommodate. I like that. We will accommodate you to an extent, but the culture that we're striving to develop is, of course, for the good of the children. And mm-hmm. when they come and they are kind of thrust into such a rigorous environment and kind of forced to perform, I think that they kind of get a thrill mm-hmm. of seeing exactly what it is they can do. Sometimes we bring talents out of students that they didn't even know they had, or talents that may not have necessarily been appreciated in other places, we showcase. Mm-hmm. Like Dominic, for example, aspires to be a rapper. And at a lot of times when people say that, you know, they're shunned or kind of discouraged. Mm-hmm. And while we do want Moon to understand that the importance of education, we also realize that he has a talent. And so whenever we have a talent show or a special program or something, a poem to recite.
Another Nas on the way?
Yes.
That's funny because that's actually why I take after is Nas.
Oh, okay. All right.
But it's not, they take that talent and I don't want to say they work it against you, but they work against where you want to go. Mm-hmm. Like, because most people, like they say, they want it now. Mm-hmm. When they be like, oh, so once you make it, what you going to do? Mm-hmm. Well, how you gonna do that? Mm-hmm. You ain't got the business training for that. How you supposed to do that?
Right.
And they're like, oh, they gonna rob you blind, son. They're like, you better come listen. And then you like, all right, give me a pen and paper.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Like you got there's stuff they make you realize.
Mm-hmm.
They make sure that whatever you want to do, they relate to it and make mm-hmm. get you geared towards what it is.
Mm-hmm. They will use that to their benefit, their teaching benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Now you touched on it, Dominic, about the sports, but let's look at sports a little bit more because I know a lot of, you know, young folks are very much into sports and think they're going to grow up and be, you know, million-dollar athletes. But how is sports handled? You said they can go to other schools. Or share with us exactly how that works.
So what that's called, Dr. Hollyfield, is an interscholastic agreement. Okay. And it basically says that if a student is attending a school that doesn't offer the sports program in which they're interested, they have the opportunity to participate in that sports program at another school while still getting all their academic courses at their home school. Right now, Crossroad offers track, basketball, and soccer. Middle school soccer, not high school soccer.
Okay.
And other schools in the district offer softball, baseball,
tennis,
football. And so if our students choose to participate in those programs after school, we allow them to go over, participate in the program, and come back. We are, again, working to expand our program. But
and they can be on the school's team?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, okay. Yes. And though we are working to expand our program, it actually kind of works in the favor of the students as well because they have friends from all over the district as opposed to just the 15 people in their class.
Mm-hmm. And even though you are, you know, the traditional educational, I mean, you're a regular school, often the folks think charter schools are exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle the exceptional child? I mean, do you have any the kids who are exceptional?
Yes.
And have any type of disabilities. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that?
As I mentioned, we select our students by lottery, so we can't control who we don't filter our enrollment, and we do have individuals on campus who specialize in exceptional student education on both ends of the spectrum. While we don't have pullout courses, our students are mainstream, educated in a mainstream manner. They do receive individualized educational plans, and all of the teachers are required to adhere to the IEP and to provide documentation and evidence of all the accommodations. Lots of our teachers are actually ESC and ESOL certified. But endorsed.
Okay.
They're ESC and ESOL endorsed. And so we have a wide range of professionals who can come together to provide those students with the support that they need.
So what I hear you saying is no matter what one's disability may be,
mm-hmm.
if they are selected by the lottery, then they can attend your school.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, okay. Ma'am.
And if they need additional services or supports to be there, you know, to then you all will get it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, okay. Ma'am.
Now, one more question. We only got a few minutes left.
Okay.
Do you have to live in Quincy to attend the school?
Well, because it is a Gadsden County public school, we are kind of restricted to Gadsden County. But we have students from Havana, from Chattahoochee, from Greensboro, Gretna,
Tallahassee,
Havana, all over.
So obviously, then you can attend.
Yes. Yes.
What you're saying to me is yes.
Yes, ma'am.
You can attend. In these last minutes, any words of wisdom you want to share to anyone who's listening? Anything you want to say?
Take your time. Like, don't rush nothing.
Okay.
No matter what school you're going to, make sure that you do your best.
Okay. I want to hear from you, too. Any words of wisdom you share?
All
right. Well, I would like to just say thank you. We really appreciate you taking the time to come and share the experiences that you have with your school. To my listening audience, that's it for this hour. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.